welcome, my friends, to another jam-packed with electronic engineering goodness episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Have you ever thought, can I really make a difference with my designs? Well, maybe you can. My first guest is Diane Kibbe from Newark Element 14 to give us the skinny on the Design for a Cause Design Challenge. Newark Element 14's newest design challenge that encourages the development of assistive technologies. Let's go. Welcome back to Fish Fry, Diane.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be on again.
Okay, Diane, so for my audience who may not know, what's new going on at Element 14 these days?
Yep, there's a lot of changes. Great changes, though. I think a lot of our members know that Ben Heck is actually retiring at the end of June after almost nine years of his show. He's going to be pursuing some of his personal interests, but we are actually in the midst of launching our new Element 14 Presents, which is still a one-stop shop for amazing builds, exclusive mods, regrettable acting that Ben previously had, and really trying to give our audience the same type of projects that they saw before. And Ben personally actually helped us select our new video producers. There's actually four people from across the globe that will be showing their builds and going through the things that they're working on. And maybe once in a while, we can hope that Ben will come back and do some kind of a guest appearance with us.
Very cool. I bet he does. Okay, so you guys just launched the Design for a Cause Design Challenge. So tell me more about this design contest and the motivation to create a contest like this.
Sure. So first, let me get into the motivation. If you look over the years of Element 14, our members have created a number of accessibility builds, which are aimed at helping members with physical limitations. I mean, Ben Heck alone has created things like his one-handed guitar, a lot of single-handed game controllers for people with disabilities, and his one-handed Xbox controller, I know, was one of our most popular episodes. We also launched our own design challenge a few years back called Make Life Accessible using motor control. And if you look just across the different projects, this is something our members are really passionate about. And so we've actually launched a whole area on the community called Design for a Cause with the focus of showcasing these builds with the idea, you know, if we can help someone and someone can use this design to help many, then that's a great thing that our community can pursue. So kind of to kick this off, we're also launching our first Design for a Cause challenge. And this is really around having our members create a piece of assistive technology for individuals that are actually living with some kind of a physical or mental impairment.
Very cool. Okay, so the Arduino MKR1000 development board is at the center of this contest. So why did you guys pick this development board to be the jumping off point?
Well, we picked it for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's extremely popular with our community members, but it's really a great board for a maker that may not know a ton about networking, so they may not have a ton of experience in designing something like this, but it's really easy to use. So the contestants actually get the MKR1000 IoT bundle, which has the board as well as the Wi-Fi shield, a series of sensors, push buttons, wires, and all the things they really need to actually, you know, create something for this challenge.
Okay, Diane, what kind of timeline are we looking at for this contest, and what will entrants win if their designs are selected?
Sure. So what we're hoping is that our members actually get in their project applications by the 20th of June. So that's the deadline. There's also an educational piece of this. So we're accepting applications from any, you know, whether it's an elementary school, university, or college, to all get their applications in by then. We'll take a couple of weeks and select the contestants, and then they will get to competing. The challenge itself will take a little over 3 months, where they'll actually do their build, blog about it on a weekly basis, and then we'll pick a winner. But we're really, just to add an extra thing here, we've actually identified three profiles of people that we're actually trying to help. These are real-life people where we have their physical limitations and we're asking our members to design things to actually help them. But we're also leaving it open for those that want to actually create a build that addresses, you know, some kind of a limitation for someone in their own personal life.
That is super cool. I love this contest. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me yet again, Diane.
You're welcome.
Keeping with our IoT theme this week, let me introduce you to Martin Chrome, VP of Business Development at Green Waves Technologies. Today, Martin and I are talking about the overlap between IoT intelligence, open source innovation, RISC-V, and AI. Let's go. Hi, Martin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amita.
Okay, let's talk about Green Waves Technologies. Now, what are you guys all about, and what are your overall goals?
Well, Green Waves is a fabless semiconductor startup. We're located just outside Grenoble in France, and we are producing a product called GAP8, which we call an IoT application processor. It's a processor. Green Waves' business is to sell chips, so we're selling this processor. The processor is focused on content understanding. That means understanding things like images and sounds and vibrations on devices, sensor devices, running on batteries, so running for years on a single battery.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk about that IoT application processor. So what makes your GAP8 IoT application processor unique, and how does it impact IoT, especially AI and machine learning?
Well, really, what GAP8 is focused on is allowing sensors to actually analyze rich data sources like images and sounds and vibrations, and doing that actually on the sensor device. If you can do it on the sensor device, that means that you can combine those kind of sensors with very low speed and low cost to operate networks such as LoRa and Sigfox or NB-IoT. Those networks themselves use very little power, so that allows us to run sensors on batteries. The interesting thing about running a sensor on a battery is that that reduces the sensor install cost, because there's no need to run cables. You can just stick a sensor in the place where it's going to be located. With a low sensor cost, low installation cost, that allows massive deployments of those kind of sensors.
So, Martin, what's your relationship with the RISC-V Foundation?
We have a very strong relationship with the RISC-V Foundation. We're a member of the foundation. We have staff that sit on both the marketing and the technical committees. And GAP8 itself actually uses cores that use the RISC-V ISA. Those cores actually come from another open source project. We have actually a sort of an intermediary open source project which sits between us and the RISC-V ISA itself, which is a project called PULP, which stands for Parallel Ultra Low Power. That's a project which comes out of two universities, the University of Bologna in Italy and ETH in Zurich, Switzerland. PULP is really provides a certain number of the portions of IP, including the cores that implement the RISC-V ISA to GAP8. And then we take those projects and extend them and productize them around our vision of battery-operated content understanding sensors.
So, Martin, I'm curious, how has open source work affected the success of Green Waves Technologies?
So open source is a very crucial point of how Green Waves works. In fact, Green Waves as a company probably wouldn't be possible without open source. We consider ourselves to be pretty much on the forefront of open source semiconductor, which is obviously a new area. Basically, what it allows us to do is take high quality pieces of IP that are coming out of open source projects. We then extend those pieces of IP, focusing all of our research and development spend specifically on the value add that we want to deliver. And then we feed back those extensions back into the open source projects, which allows us to start with, state of the art for the next generation of our product. And that's allowed us to bring GAP8 to market, spending a very small amount of money compared with most fabless semiconductor startups. Obviously, our customers, what matters to them is that the product works, that it does the job, and that it fills a need for them, not necessarily how much it costs us to make. But what we believe is that open source semiconductors allows us to innovate in ways that are compatible with the kind of funding that we can get, which would not be possible with non-open source routes.
Absolutely. Okay, Martin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you enjoy some mountain biking from time to time. So where's your favorite place in the whole world to go mountain biking?
Well, just around where I live, actually. As I said, we're based just close to Grenoble. Grenoble is in the middle of the French Alps. So actually coming out of my front door is a good place to start mountain biking. In fact, there's a lot of trails that are very close.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Martin.
Thanks a lot.
Now, if you're designing something, say, in the IoT consumer electronics space, you're going to need to start considering your power options like yesterday. So if you're finding yourself lost in a sea of voltages, power rails, and fast-moving currents, See, get it? Like the current in the ocean and the current in the... Anyway, sorry, I might be funnier in my head than in real life. Anyway, if this sounds like a problem you're needing some help with, or heck, maybe you just want to listen to my voice a bit more, I would encourage you to check out a new episode of Chalk Talk entitled Intelligent Power Modules. In this episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with David Divins of Infineon, and we chat all about how intelligent power modules can speed up your project, improve your power consumption, and bring a host of other benefits to your next design, and how you can use Infineon's intelligent power modules in your next project. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should! You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the EE Journal Fish Fry Archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, see you at DAC next week, you guys. Oh my gosh. Or even the best geeky hotspot in your city. I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 22nd, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.